Now what? I think that's a very important question for us at this point in our journey in space-time history. God has placed us here for such a time as this. And although this journey has been very difficult at times, in fact, my understanding is well before we arrived in Cloverdale some 10 years ago, the plans had already been made and then struggles and then made and then struggles for something like this to occur. This journey has been long, but the journey is not over. In fact, we have arrived, and now ministry that we desire and seeking the glory of God together becomes what we pursue with all of our might. When you look at history, there are many times like this, much better than ours, although ours is very special to us. Maybe the most significant in the history of Israel was when finally they finished their journey in the desert and they were about to come into the promised land. If you have your Bibles with you, and I hope that you do this morning, if you could open them with me to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. Joshua is a transition book. In fact, in the Hebrew, it begins with the word and. It's trying to share with us now what, or the journey is not the destination. The destination is where God wants us to be, and I am hoping this morning together we can see that from the Word of God so that generations from now, people will say about Cloverdale Baptist Church, in the strength of God, for the glory of God, this was our finest hour. The people of Israel had had some great victories and some incredible struggles. They had come some 38 years ago to this place and sent in 12 spies, and 10 came back and reported that the land was beautiful, but the giants were too big. That report led to the horrific comment that we are like grasshoppers in their eyes. And so God lengthened their journey, perhaps to build their faith, perhaps as a consequence of their lack of willing to understand the presence of God and all that that means in terms of His power at work to accomplish His mission for His glory. And so now they are back, and they know that they can't do it alone. The land that they were going to go into has not changed. There are still giants, and they are still like grasshoppers in their eyes, the eyes of the people they are to conquer, but no longer in their own. Moses, their famous leader, has gone home before he could enter the promised land. This must have brought with it a sense of loss that was overwhelming, that we could not understand in our generation, in our time. The one who had been to them the very presence of God, now in the presence of God and no longer with them. That must have been overwhelming and a little bit scary. And so this transition, this start, this and now what is so powerful for us, because we have said, Nehemiah 2:18, we will arise and build and strengthen our hands for the good work. We have said, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. And we believe the laborers have not labored in vain and that the Lord has built this house. We said that we need to be a people, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, that trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not on our own understandings. In all our ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct our paths. And we have faithfully done that, but the journey is now to begin in terms of the mission accomplishment in this place, for this area, and around the world. And so we ask the question of this text, for this church, now what? Let's read the first 9 verses and then we will slow down and find a blessing, a challenge, and a call to service. After the death of Moses, now notice this would be very significant for us, we're just reading, but for them, changes everything. After the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river of Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This passage has some resounding themes. And the first one is one I want us to notice first, and that is what we have called the blessing. And the blessing is this: God is with us. His presence is here. Now, for these people, not as real as for us, believe it or not. For them, the promise met with chaos and then security and more chaos as they traveled. And now God standing with them at the very place where He had brought them, saying to them, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will be with you. And because I will be with you, you can be strong and courageous no matter what comes your way. Now we know, if we skipped ahead to chapter 3, which we won't do, that the river they must cross was impassable. It was in flood stage. We know, if we went back to Numbers 13 and previous, the land is filled with large cities that have walls that are impenetrable and giants that fight to the death with grasshoppers. Brothers and sisters, their task was impossible unless God was with them. This week, the Supreme Court of the United States made a decision that places our faith, our beliefs, in further jeopardy. This morning I heard, don't worry, Canada, we are way ahead of them. We've had this in place for 10 years. The culture is becoming more and more a culture that no longer believes in the God of the Bible or the ethics that the Bible teaches. Almost every week I interact with pastors in churches or people in churches who are struggling because their people or their pastor no longer wants to hold the inspired, inerrant, sufficient Word of God. We live in troubled times. If God is not with us, we will fail. No man, no woman, no church can accomplish what we believe God has called us to accomplish. We believe He's placed us here on mission. We believe we're to, as we are going into the world, reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and disciple them to walk in conformity to Him. We believe that His word is to be known and obeyed by His followers. We believe that the world is a place where we want to see and spread the gospel. We want to live holy lives, stay loyal to the word, be a people who serve where everyone has a ministry. And we know, let me speak on behalf of the leadership team that this is impossible unless God is with us. And here is the joy that I promise you today, because it comes from the Word of God. God is with us. This is what He says as He closes that wonderful passage in Matthew 28 that command us to be on mission for Him. And He says this, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Joshua, don't be afraid. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. No man shall stand before you all the days of your life. Be strong and courageous. Verse 9, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Cloverdale Baptist Church, the mission is huge. The mission is impossible unless God is real and God is with us. And guess what? God is real. And God is with His people to accomplish His purpose for His glory. The nations are like dust on the scales to the God of the Bible. Blessing for us this morning. Cloverdale Baptist Church, God is with us. The challenge. This is an interesting one for Joshua. It's not the one I would expect if I was giving him this challenge, because for me it would be, make sure you do your job well. Make sure you conquer. Make sure you're a good warrior. Make sure when you're at war that the war you fight, you fight with skill. Would have been some training in how to do this, and that doesn't happen here, although if we study a little bit back in the Bible, we'll see some training did occur. But it's interesting to note the training that occurred mostly involved a dependence on God. As Moses lifted up his hands and as Joshua fought, it wasn't the skill on the battlefield, but the arms lifted to the king that brought the victory. I would expect something else. Here's the challenge for us today. The challenge for Joshua, the challenge for us. Be word saturated. Listen to it in the text. This book of the law, verse 8, shall not depart from your mouth. What book of the law? The Bible to that point. Don't let it depart from your mouth. What does that mean? Don't stop speaking it. Don't let it depart from your mouth. When you're talking about other things, make sure that the Word of God is so close and so there that we could say that at Cloverdale Baptist Church, the Word of God does not depart from our mouths. You shall meditate on it day and night. Is there any other time? Speak it always. Think about it all of the time. Chew on it as much as you can, so that you may be careful to do according to what is written. In other words, we want to know it. We want to love it. We want to talk about it. We want to think about it. We want to be a people that are constantly interacting about the Word of God and living it. So often, Bible-believing churches like ours are accused of being those who know the Word and don't live it. May that never be said in this place. We will read it. We will repent where we fall short, and we will seek to be a people who are Word-saturated. One scholar on the book of Joshua says this, "The victory and possession of the land which follows is a direct result of the Word of God and of man. In this case, Joshua hearing and responding to his word, this should illustrate for us that there is absolutely no victory or chance for us to experience the blessings of our new life in Christ apart from the Word of God. Whenever any believer begins to turn away from the Word through indifference or apathy for whatever reason, he or she is turning away from the Lord into defeat." Here's the challenge for Cloverdale Baptist Church. Be word saturated, hunger for it, speak it, meditate on it, not just from the pulpit, but in the pew. We're a people that are hungry for the Word of God. Charles Spurgeon once said this, "The Bible which is falling apart usually belongs to someone who is not." Amen. Deuteronomy 17, you have a message to kings, and the king was told to do this amongst other things: make a copy of the law in your own writing and carry it with you wherever you go. Do you know how awkward that would have been before iPhones? with them always, reminding them of their loyalty to God, their loyalty to His Word, their loyalty to be those who obey. Jesus picks us up. Matthew 7, there's so many places we could go in this, but Jesus picks us up and He says, listen, if you want to be someone, a person who is secure when the storms come, here's what you need to do. You need to hear the Word of God and obey it. A wise man builds his house on the rock. When the storms come and beat against the house, it will stand firm. What is that picture for us? To be of someone who hears the Word and applies the Word and loves the Word. By the way, the house on the sand is also in the church, but they hear the Word and do not respond, do not obey. And when the storms come, everything collapses. We have experienced storms as a church. You read our history, it is full of storms. The way forward will have storms. There will be struggles in our future. How can we be prepared? We don't know what they will be. We will be a people who take this challenge to Joshua, to kings, to churches, Colossians 3:17, letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly, to individuals not being conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, being transformed by the renewing of our minds. We will be a people who speak the Word of God, who meditate on the Word of God, who hunger to obey the Word of God. We will do that individually. We'll do that together when we meet as family and growth groups and other places. We'll do that from this pulpit and everywhere we are. We will be a people that meet the challenge of God to Joshua, the challenge of God to us. This book of the law will not depart from our mouths. We shall meditate on it day and night so that we may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Then we will have prosperity the way God defines prosperity. Then we will have success. We will be able to accomplish the mission God has given us in this world. The blessing. God is with us. The challenge. And by the way, it's not easy. You probably are busy. There's many things that can take your time, both good and bad. This one, the Bible teaches, should be the priority. Word saturation. Thirdly, I've just called this the call to service, and God will help us. The call to service. Notice they've arrived. They've been on this journey for 38 years, really 40 if you want to include the first two. They've been on this journey for 40 years, and finally they've arrived. And for some of you who have been here longer than me, that must be what you're feeling today. We've arrived. The hottest day of the summer, and we have air conditioning. Brothers and sisters, we have only begun the journey. We are on mission for our king. For Joshua was to go into the land, and he was to be strong and courageous, strong and courageous, strong and very courageous. It's repeated. He needs to hear it. The battle is going to be big. There are going to be struggles in this passion to reach out with the Word of God, to stand firm on who He is and what He has said in His Word. This will not be easy, to seek to be a multi-generational, multi-ethnic church when all church growth movement people are telling us not to do that. The road ahead is not easy, but it is amazing. Because God is with us. Because we are standing firm on the Word of God, filled with the Spirit of God, and saying to Him, here I am, send me. It's not just the elders or pastors or deacons. It's not just the building committee you saw. It's every single believer. You, if you have responded to the grace of God, if you have placed your faith in Him, for it is by grace you are saved through faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. If you have done that, if you have seen what Jesus has done on the cross, if you have said to Him, I'm sorry for my sins, I trust in You, I want to live for You, I repent and believe, and You delight in Your forgiveness. The Bible says that God has prepared good works for you to do. He's prepared them in advance. In fact, in Ephesians 4, 11 to 16, you get a picture of a healthy church. And a healthy church definitely has pastors that are healthy and elders that are healthy and deacons that are healthy. But what makes a healthy church unique and so hard to find in North America is every part is doing its work. And that's what brings maturity. Brothers and sisters, if we want to be in this place, the church that God desires us to be, we'll rejoice in His presence. We'll take up the challenge and we'll be a people that are saturated with the Word. And every person that belongs here, if you're a guest, this doesn't mean you specifically, but every person that belongs here, every person that calls Cloverdale Baptist Church their home will say, where is my ministry? Where is it that God wants me to serve? What is the part that I can do so that I can be a part of a church that is mature, no longer blowing here and there by every wind and deceit and false doctrine? The Bible is so clear. As each part does its work. You see, for Joshua, he is going into a land where they're going to need to do their job faithfully. They're going to need the power of God. They're going to need to serve with His strength. And we need the same. I love 1 Peter 4:10 and how it ends. We serve with the strength that God provides so that God may be glorified. I am so excited to be with you this morning. I was pacing, and a number of you said, calm down, it'll be okay. And it is. But I'm not only excited for today, and I am very excited for today, I'm excited for tomorrow and what our future brings as we are a people who say, I'm all in, I'm God's, I want to be a part of something bigger than me. I want to be a part of something He plans and He does and He works in us and through us to accomplish. So what are the implications for us as a church this morning? We've seen the end book, and now we see the end for our church. This building is complete, and now. Three implications for us as God's people. And many more as the Spirit of God works in you. But three that I want us all to do. The first, let's praise God. Let's actively take the opportunity with one another and anyone that will listen to us to praise God for what we have come through and where we are today. God is amazing. Let's celebrate His goodness. Let's begin in praise. Let's not forget the journey that God has brought us on through the dark valleys and the delightful peaks to get us to this place. Let's begin this new era of Cloverdale Baptist Church with praise on our hearts and in our mouths and celebrating all around. I don't know if you've noticed, but one of the things that we tried very hard to do is make the cross central. Make Jesus central, not only in the architecture, but also in the first service. No matter what is going on in our lives, if we belong to Him, we can praise Him for so great a salvation. Let's make this a house of praise, beginning today. Secondly, and more directly from the text, let's be a family that practices the presence of God. I take that from one of the old scholars who wrote a book. Let's be a church that says God is with us. That'll motivate us not only to be strong and courageous, but also to be pure and holy. Let's be a church that remains in Him and allow Him to remain in us because we are branches and He is the vine. And we have that amazing privilege to declare apart from Him, we can do nothing. But with Him, we can do anything He asks us to do. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 2 Corinthians 12. I love this. This is the Apostle Paul, and he says, I will boast all the more about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest on me. Let's be a people who practice His presence. Thirdly, let's practice His Word. I know we talk about this a lot, and the reason we talk about it a lot is because God does. You just read the text this morning, and if we were not ending here, we would have missed the point. Spend time in the Word on a daily basis. Spend time together talking about Scripture. If you're struggling with sin, realize that the Bible says if you hide God's Word in your heart, then you won't sin. Pray and long for God to move. Saturate yourself in the Word. Share the Word back and forth. Grow in knowledge. Seek to apply. Seek to delight and rejoice. I was listening to a biography on George Mueller. He made a commitment after a while in his life, struggling through all sorts of valleys and depressions, to be happy in God, joyful in God, perhaps is how we would say it. And he says he struggled so much with this until he realized the secret to joy. Time in the Word. Time in God's presence, listening carefully to what he says. Brothers and sisters, today, we have been blessed and are blessed with the presence of God. We have been challenged by the Word of God to be Word saturated, and now we have the privilege of being together on mission for His glory as a family. I'm excited about today. I'm even more excited about tomorrow. Let's pray. Father, what a tremendous privilege it is to be in your presence, praising your holy name. We believe you have miraculously had a hand on this entire process. Sometimes as we have struggled and then seen your hand, other times where we have prayed and you have so clearly answered. And so today, we praise your name. We come with thanksgiving, knowing that apart from you, we can do nothing. And we also come now together saying we will be a people who are Word saturated, applying your Word to all of life, all of the time. And where we fail, we will repent and cling to the cross of Jesus. And Father, we will be a people that serves, that builds the body of Christ for the glory of our King. Today we celebrate. Today we commit in joy to use this building and these people to the praise of your glorious grace. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen.